Blessed morning to you guys. Cap
Blessed
Hawk.
Morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
Tim in Macomb, Illinois. What's going on, Studley?
Hi. This is the worst heartbreak from when my seventh grade girlfriend broke up with me. I love Derek Rose.
I love you so much. I love you.
I mean, it's way worse than that. I mean, he was the youngest.
What was her name?
Sarah. She was smoking.
Do you guys have a song?
You shook me all night long, AC/DC.
Tim, was she your first kiss?
Seventh grade?
Of course she was.
Of course. Yeah, seventh grade romances. I mean, you never forget your seventh grade romance.
Who was your first kiss?
Yvette Puckett.
Mine was Laura DeFreitas. Seventh grade dance.
Full action?
That happened to be my first time with the lips and the tongue.
Relax there.
Well, thanks, sir.
Show some respect.
Yeah.
Wanted to kiss Stacey Thomas, and she was not giving me any of that.
In no way, shape, or form do I feel any feelings of intimacy towards you in any way whatsoever.
She's a lawyer.
Of course she is. Bright woman. I survived the Catman t-shirts.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Downtown Chicago.
Chicago! Baltic Star scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Hosh.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Happy Thursday morning, Cap and Haw Show. CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. Catman, who we were making fun of yesterday, not here today. He's got college basketball business. Mark Carman in for the Catman. Morning, Carm.
Morning, David. I'm already channeling my inner Cap. I'm on Twitter, and I listened to half of that sentence.
Listen to half of what I said and ignore the open. Mike Jacobson is executive producer behind the glass. Matt Rooney. And, of course, Pat Gastel, the MVP of this operation, with whom we would not be on the air without. So he can never get stuck in traffic. He can never get sick. He can never be late.
Pat intimidates me. I'm going to be honest. He's got way too much power over there. Don't really know what he does, but I'm very intimidated by
no
Pat.
No pressure there. Okay, so good morning, Captain Haw. We are going to talk today about the aftermath. Aftermath with the Bulls. Aftermath with the Blackhawks, some news there. Yesterday, we'll get to some other stuff. Let's go down the guest list real quickly here. 9:55, Casey Johnson, Chicago Tribune. We're going to talk Bulls with Casey, who was at the game last night at the United Center, as I was. The Hornets beat the Bulls. They beat the Bulls pretty convincingly, 98-86. We'll talk to Casey at 9:55. 10:25, we will check in with Mark Lazarus from the Sun-Times. Covers the Blackhawks, had a very good column in this morning's paper. The Blackhawks back in action tonight at 6:30 against the Florida Panthers. I believe that game is on CSN. And at 11:10, Frank Isola from the New York Daily News, bright NBA columnist, funny guy.
Power national look.
On ESPN's Around the Horn, and looking forward to talking to Frankie about all things hoops. So let's start with the Bulls. Last night at the United Center was not a memorable game, Carm. It was one of those games where you knew that there was something missing, and it was a direct result of who wasn't there, significant by his absence, Derrick Rose. And it was obvious from the get-go that this was a different time. It was a different it was an adjustment period. 23 seats at courtside were empty at tip-off.
I saw that in your column today. 23, huh?
From the rafters to the 100 level, as I wrote, there were sections of emptiness. There was a definite void in the building. There was a definite pall cast around the arena. And as much as Tom Thibodeau asked for and said that the Bulls would not be affected and they would not feel sorry for themselves and they would move on, as if everything was going to be okay. Fact is, they didn't. The fact is that there was a there were guys skulking around. There was a mental exhaustion factor that Joakim Noah alluded to after the game. I guess on one hand, it's understandable. On the other hand, it is, you know, how long is this going to last? And I think what we have to get used to is the idea that you can look at the Bulls, and they have experience dealing without Derrick Rose. And they have experience being the try-hard guys that overcome his absence. This is not the same team. These are similar circumstances, but this is not the same team. They don't play defense in the same way the previous two teams that learned to live without Derrick Rose played defense. And that, to me, was as apparent as anything last night. 312-235-2525. Call us, text us, tweet us. Let us know what you think.
So, okay, I go with a bunch of ways here. For one, it's not just Derek. I mean, Derek's obviously the guy that is dealing with the injury and has the most pain in the whole thing and has to live with it. But everybody surrounded by it experiences their own, you know, little portion of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pau Gasol signs here. He's fired up to win another NBA title. He's rejuvenated. Well, you know, he did that because he was believing that Derek would be healthy. Joakim, all these guys, you know, they're right there with Derek. So it's just, it's normal, right, that they would come out with maybe just a little bit less of a jump in their step because that bounce, because, you know, you're a human being.
If you're Pau Gasol and you're signing with the Bulls and you're choosing the Bulls over the Spurs, over the Thunder, over the Heat,
mm-hmm.
over the Lakers,
right,
and you're doing so because of your ability to compete for a championship in Chicago with a coach that's ready to go, you trust, don't you think in the back of your mind, you're Pau Gasol. You're as aware as any professional athlete in town, as any professional athlete in the league. Don't you think that he anticipated that this was going to happen at some point during his Bulls tenure, that Derrick Rose, who has had as much bad luck as any professional athlete the last 3 years, don't you think he had to anticipate this on some level?
Had to
fear this.
No question. At least had to fear it and had to maybe on some level mentally prepare himself for it. But still, when the reality hits, oh my God, we've got 25 games to go. And yeah, we've been climbing uphill basically the whole season. But now we're going to the bottom of the hill and have to refigure things out. And maybe he comes back. Maybe that's even tough for a guy like Powell. But I mean, he had 25 and 13 last night. So the numbers.
He's not the problem.
No, he's not. But you're talking about the try-hard Bulls. Who's the leader of the try-hard Bulls? I mean, that's Joakim Noah, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the MVP of the try-hard Bulls. How hard can Noah really try right now? How much harder can he try with what his body's being, you know, giving him what he's dealing with his knees and ankles and everything else? I don't know if he can try. He can be the Noah that he was last year. In fact, I know I'm extremely confident he can't be. So without that, can they really be the quote-unquote try-hard Bulls?
Well, I don't know about that. I think that it goes beyond him, but I think defensively they are limited. And Aaron Brooks is a guy that, you know, got off to a great start last night. 9 points in the first quarter, and you think, oh, gee, you know, I can see why, you know, this, hey, everything's going to be okay.
Derrick Brooks?
Derrick Brooks, as Tommy Edwards alluded to him. Derrick Brooks, shoots pretty well for a linebacker.
Derrick Brooks.
Yeah, that happens. Oh. It happens. He can be forgiven. It was that kind of night at the United Center. Everybody was sort of like, their mind was drifting elsewhere. They were thinking about who wasn't there rather than the people who were on the court. But I think that the Bulls are not that same team, and they don't know yet how to function, and Aaron Brooks alluded to it after the game. It's going to take them some time to redefine their roles, and I think that, you know, you see Mike Dunleavy with one shot heading late in the fourth quarter. That's not enough. Joakim Noah did not touch the ball enough. He was not involved as much as he needs to be. Jimmy Butler did not have his best game. These are things that need to be worked out. The question is that what are they working toward, and how does this redefine and reshape the season? Because, look, talking to people yesterday and reported it this morning, Casey Johnson as well, this is a 3 to 5 week injury.
Mm-hmm.
This is potentially a 3 to 5 week injury. This is the way that it's being perceived internally. They're bracing for his return by the end of the regular season, perhaps, if everything goes well. And this going to be a mental challenge that looms larger than the physical one. This is an injury that people do recover from in the NBA. But if you're looking at an ordinary meniscus recovery, recovery from a meniscus operation, there's nothing ordinary when Derrick Rose is your patient. That's the issue. I think that's what scares the Bulls. They would never acknowledge that, no, privately or publicly.
They can't.
But I think that's probably what scares them as much as anything is that, is he going to be as committed mentally, and how significant are those hurdles in front of him? Because that's the unknown that makes everybody uneasy.
The best look on that level was that apparently Jimmy Butler's the only guy that can get a hold of him. Tibbs is texting with him. Noah, the same thing. They haven't talked. But Jimmy talked to him last night, talked to him the morning, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he says he's in good spirits. So there's one guy.
High-spirited, I think he said.
There's one guy, Jimmy Butler, probably the MVP of the team, or if not co-MVP with Powell, whatever. He's in touch with Derek, and he's in good spirits. So I think the whole team, David, honestly should be – at the surgery tomorrow, if indeed it does go tomorrow, they should all be huddled around. They should see the meniscus. Look, we're gonna look. It's a little repair right here. Everybody, let's exhale. And Derek, you can do this. It's got to be. Who can jump into somebody's mind and going through it? But he's got to have the warrior mentality. That's his only choice, right?
Repairing the tear would keep him off the court for the rest of the season. Okay. And there are options. He could take the short term approach and be back in, you know, 3 to 5 weeks, some people think, a little bit over a month. It depends on, you know, the size and type of the tear. You're not going to know until Brian Cole goes in. But there are decisions to be made, but there's a sense of optimism that I think I don't know if I didn't expect, but I was surprised to get in dealing with the story, digging a little deeper.
And he's not going to be, if everything works out, he's not going to be quote-unquote Derrick Rose. So maybe he'll be able to play 20, 25 minutes a night. But with this team and in this Eastern Conference outside of Cleveland, in my mind at least, maybe, I suppose I got to give more respect to Atlanta, but I'm not willing to do that yet. They can be right there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll see if that's going to be the case with Derrick Rose, whatever player you get when he does come back, whenever he does come back. Patrick Kane, 12 weeks. Oh. That's a little bit more depressing if you're a Hawks fan. And yet, they're probably better equipped to deal with life without Patrick Kane than the Bulls are without Derrick Rose.
They still got to flip a switch over there, but maybe they can do it.
They do. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some other stuff. Here's the one thing I want to talk about when we get back from the break. There's a suggestion out there that the Bulls might be better off. Might be better off without a Derrick Rose. And it's not just advanced by texters or callers. It's been advanced by people that cover the NBA. People that are respected in the business. We need to get to that. The 9 a.m. hour of the Cap and Haw Show is sponsored by Apt Electronics. 312-235-2525. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Are the Bulls better off without Derrick Rose? Mark Carmen in for the Cap Man. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Cap and Haw.
You know, mentally, I think, you know, we're a little bit drained with everything that happened. But I just know that we're going to have to play a lot harder if we want to be successful.
It was difficult. We took a blow as a team because of Derek's situation. And I could tell that emotionally it was tough for us tonight.
It's a tough day because of the concern for Derek, but you know, the games are going to keep coming. And so, you know, I think, and I mentioned this earlier about how, you know, our team does feel about Derek, but, and we're concerned about him.
That was Tom Thibodeau last night at the United Center following the Bulls 98-86 loss to the Charlotte Hornets. And it was not pretty to watch. Cap and Haw Show, Mark Carmen in for the Cap Man, who's doing some college basketball tonight. We are CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com talking Bulls. I'll say this. Tom Thibodeau knows his team. And the more he stresses this idea of how they can't feel sorry for themselves, they have to move on, the games keep coming, it tells me that he's a little bit concerned about their focus. And I think you hear why. Because before the game, at the shoot-around, in the aftermath, the emphasis was you can't let this bother you. You have to use this as a rallying point. You have to fight through this mentally. And when he doesn't want the team to feel sorry for itself, then they go out and they play like a team that does, it kind of raises your concern level. Are they going to go down a road that they went down the last time this happened? After the injury in Portland, November 22nd, 2013. The Bulls lost 11 out of 14. Tom Thibodeau's, I think, scared to death that's going to happen again.
And it's his job, as best he can, to get them focused. But you saw, I apologize last night because I went to Northwestern and then I was going to be on my way to the Bulls game, but the snow came down and there was no way I was going to make it. So you were out there.
I wanted to
see this locker room in person. It just didn't work out. But watching everything and reading everything, that was one depressed place.
It was.
I mean, he's got some heavy lifting to do, right?
You don't want to overreact, Carm, because it was a shocking 24-hour period. But Jimmy Butler's, everything was in hushed tones. Everything was in it was definitely a somber atmosphere. Jimmy Butler spoke, and he talked about talking to Derek. He put a little bit more optimistic feel on it. Pau Gasol, as you heard, he's usually very heads up, looking around, making eye contact. He was downtrodden. Joakim Noah, I would just say he's shell-shocked. He's mentally fried, as he alluded to. This is a team that needs a swagger. They're not playing with a swagger. Aaron Brooks spoke afterward. I think he's still finding his way. He wasn't through it the first two times. I don't know. I'm not sure where this team is. I do not agree, though, with Bill Simmons on ESPN or in Grantland or Colin Coward on ESPN or other people that have espoused this view. I do not think the Bulls are in any way better without Derrick Rose, and I don't know anybody that watches them on a regular basis that agrees with that.
It's a ridiculous take. It really is. They're set.
I'm getting it on the text line too, Carm.
Yeah, I know. But
there's people out there that believe that.
That's because, from Bulls fans, I get it. It's kind of like an emotional hurtness.
Yeah.
From a guy like Bill Simmons, who's supposed to be an NBA expert, and he's got plenty of great thoughts, but this is just a bad one. How are they? Listen. First of all, this injury, as we talked about earlier, this is not career-ending. He didn't just re-tear the ACL. This is a minor, hopefully Russell Westbrook to level type of injury. You're not better without Derrick Rose, man. In no way, shape, or form.
No way.
How can you make that argument?
That's no way.
Absurd argument.
847 makes a good point. It's still a punch in the stomach, of course. They're going to have that reaction for a few days, and basically they'll get over it. Let's go to the phone lines and talk Derrick Rose. 312-235-2525. Corey in Chicago. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, how you doing? Calling from Lincoln Square.
Okay. Good morning. What can we do for you?
There's no way the Bulls are a better team without D. Rose. There's no way. He's a closer. At the end of the game, the ball goes to him. He still creates. If you watch that Cavs game, which I've watched that game repeatedly about three or four times, he was smoking Kyrie Irving up and down the court.
Yep.
There's no way this team, anybody who watches this team on a regular basis.
Thanks, Corey. I think you we lost you there. But I agree with you. I don't have any doubt that he is definitely an asset more than a liability.
And that's the other side of it, too. He was smoking Kyrie Irving, who's not a great defender, but regardless, one of the best point guards in the game. He showed flashes, and it was flashes, but there were a bunch of them of being, quote-unquote, Derrick Rose. I mean, it wasn't consistent. I'm just hoping that maybe there was some knee discovered, some instability in there. Maybe this is a good thing. I don't know. Maybe he needed that.
Well, I'm not willing
surgery.
To go that far. I think some people have suggested that, along with the Patrick Kane idea, that it could be a blessing in disguise for the Blackhawks. And in Derrick Rose, there could be a benefit to this because he could come back and not be not to have the pain. He could be pain-free for the first time and not have to worry about that. I think those are rationalizations. I don't think you're ever better off if you're the Hawks without an MVP. And you're not better off if you're the Bulls without, basically the guy around whom your season revolves. And that's the reality. But I think that, until you get him back, 5 weeks is a long time. You've got to establish, I don't want to say an identity, but it gives you an opportunity to establish an identity, to be the defensive team that you have to be. Maybe you're not built the same way you were the last two seasons, but you can try to establish a bigger presence defensively than you have, because I think I see too often, and you asked a good question at the break, can you tell when the Bulls aren't playing hard?
Yeah, I can't. I couldn't tell last night.
I think you can tell when they're not communicating defensively. I think you can tell when they're not helping in the way that they're used to helping each other. I think that Pau Gasol at times, his effort defensively leaves a lot to be desired. And I have a lot of respect for what he does, and he can get away with it because he's Pau Gasol. And he brings you so much more in so many other ways. But I don't think that you watch him and you feel like he is all in defensively at all times. But when he leads the NBA in double-doubles,
right,
he can't have everything.
I mean, he had 25 and 13 last night.
Yeah, you can't have everything.
And I'm watching Noah sprinting around the court when they're even late in the fourth quarter, when the game's clearly over. They're not – I suppose they could be complete lunatics and play a drop harder, but there's also, listen, there's some chemistry issues out there. I still think with Powell.
That may be a bigger thing.
Yeah. And then it's not just the, to me, it's not just the effort level. There's some other stuff going on.
Let's go to Joe in Midlothian. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. I just want to say that the Bulls do need Derrick Rose to win, but the Derrick Rose they're going to get is not going to be the Derrick Rose that won the MVP a few years back, because he is injury prone and mentally in his head, he's got it where if I do this, am I going to get hurt? He's not going to be the jumpstart Derrick Rose that we needed. So I don't think the Bulls are ever going to get back to that spot where they were 3 or 4 years ago. So in a way, they do need to like move on away from that and get somebody else in here.
How could they do that, Joe? What are you suggesting? You suggesting because Derrick Rose has got two more years left on a contract that makes him the highest paid player on that team.
I know that, but what I know he's going to get his money and all that. You have to look in the future at the draft or something. You know, he's not going to be the same again, Dave. Because like the way I look at, if he was LeBron James and he had those three injuries, do you think LeBron James would be the player that he is now? I don't think so.
It's a fair question, Joe. Thanks for making the phone call. Can the Bulls ever count on Derrick Rose to be the same type of player? It's asked and answered. You know the answer,
right? And it's irrelevant. I mean, you're.
Well, how is it irrelevant? I mean, it does. It's not irrelevant, Carm. If this latest injury causes you to rethink your championship clock.
Well, okay.
Answer that first.
Okay, if that's the case, if you're willing, okay. That's a whole other animal. If you're willing to say right now that with Rose at this level, we can't win a title and let's move forward and start trading off pieces like Taj and Noah, that's an awful bold. Is that what you're recommending over there?
I'm not recommending that.
But something they should be. You think they're considering it?
I don't think that they're considering it. I'm asking if they should. Because I think that you're getting a little ahead of yourself. I'm asking, how does Derrick Rose's latest injury affect your thinking if you're John Paxson, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Gar Foreman about where you are in terms of. You know, how wide open is that championship window? Because you came into the season thinking this was a team constructed to win the NBA title now.
I'd say it's extremely tight. As in
next year?
As in next year.
Can you win the NBA championship next year? Can you count on Derrick Rose to be the player you need him to be at the top of your conference?
I
don't know the answer to that question right now, Carm.
And neither do I, but you have to hope it. There's no other path. You gotta do whatever you can to have him be as best as he can be.
I don't know that
you
can count on him.
I don't think you can.
Can you have this, and I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Can you not write him off for this season and still content and think that you're going to bring him back and you're going to be competitive in the playoffs somehow? Maybe not as much as before, but you can count on him coming back and yet rethink your long-term plan with him because you can't count on anything because this you get the sense this could happen again.
It's an interesting question from do you get rid of this year and just put all the eggs in next year with how you treat this current injury?
I don't know. 312-235-2525. Talking Bulls. Carm is in for the Cap Man. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.
The Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast SportsNet.
I mean, it's just really sad. You know, angry, sad, just. You know, he doesn't deserve it. It's just really disappointing.
That was Joakim Noah in the Bulls' somber locker room last night after the loss to the Hornets. David Haw and Mark Carman in for the Capman. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. Carm, getting some interesting tweets from Bulls fans who, frankly, don't have a lot of sympathy for Derrick Rose and are looking at this from the way that some people are, and that maybe the Bulls are better off without him. David from Phil Duza on Twitter. 1-for-13 shooting, double-digit turnovers. They don't need that. If he played at the level he did against Cleveland, that's a different story, but he wasn't 95% of the time. It's not rocket science.
Okay, it's not 95% of the time that he was 1-for-13. Okay, it's like
I think you're saying that 95% of the time he wasn't playing at the level he did against the Cavs.
I mean, we can go over the game log. It's more like 25% of the time he was great, 50% he was average, and the other 25% he was awful. I would say does that sound about right?
Probably so. Luis chimes in. Hopefully, at some point, Derrick Rose will realize the conservative approach to post surgery hasn't worked for him. Interesting.
And that you can make that argument. It's hard to go against it, but like. You also can't say, well, if he had been super aggressive, he would be fine right now. If he had played in 2012 when he didn't, he'd be great. If he had just listened to the doctors. No one can say that.
Also got an interesting tweet. It speaks more to what we talked about at the beginning of the show about how the experience, the Bulls game experience, certainly has changed and might change over the next month or so. Somebody tweeted to me that they got a first row seat in a 300 level, bought a ticket off StubHub for $20.
$20.
There were a lot of empty seats. Yeah. More so than usual. I don't go to every Bulls game, but people that typically are there could not believe how empty the arena was at tip-off. And it wasn't just because it was snowy or there was traffic. It stayed empty for a while. And then it gradually sort of filled in. It was hard to find a buzz in the building.
Those Bulls season ticket holders who are in the investment mode, and God bless them, this was a major blow. The price just went precipitously down, which, by the way, $20 on StubHub means that if you went out to the UC last night, you're in for probably $5. There were seats just all over the street last night.
Yeah, there were good seats to be had if you walked in. I mean, there were a lot of empty seats. Not a great night. And somebody, I was sitting next to Michael Wilbon, not to drop names like Cap, who sits in his chair. I feel like that's probably part of this chair.
He's a regular out there, Michael Wilbon.
I was sitting next to Mike Wilbon, and he was asking the question, was this the worst Bulls home loss of the season? And no. I mean, I think that it's a fair question to ask in the midst of how ugly it was at times to watch, but unfortunately, this is not a team that's played well at home.
No.
You have the Jazz, the Magic. Some others come to mind. There's been some real clunkers there.
Yeah, this one you could explain away. Some of the other ones, when Rose was actually playing, that was shocking at the time.
That building is this week cursed, though. Sunday, they do what they did against the Bruins. Tuesday, Patrick Kane goes down. Wednesday, the Bulls look like that against the Hornets. It's and as I wrote, this is a 22,000-seat fan support group.
Yep.
On the west side.
It's true. We all should come out there. Bulls fans need to go out there for a group collective hug. Maybe the players, too. They should all make one big circle around the UC.
312-235-2525. Let's go to Dave in Metropolis. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I think the Bulls, there's no way you get rid of Rose. Look at last night's game. Without Rose, teams don't worry about nobody but Rose.
Well, Aaron Brooks can be a threat. Offensively, he can be a guy that you do have to account for. He started strong.
He surprised me last night. Yeah, he's usually good. But, I mean, without Rose, he's a threat to anybody. I mean, the Bulls have nobody else to worry about.
Well, they're a good offensive team, Dave. They're a good offensive team. Derrick Rose is different because when he attacks, he creates opportunities for everybody else.
Right.
But they're definitely – I agree with you. Thanks for the phone call. I think they definitely are a different team to defend. Aaron Brooks was off after the first quarter. He missed 5 free throws. He was 3-8 at the line.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again. But that shows you that it was an off night for good old Aaron.
This was a team that had concentration lapses. And it doesn't seem like he's a guy that you expected that out of. He seems like a guy to me who is just fearless, goes in, has a job to do, does it, maybe changing his role. Maybe he thought too much.
I mean, Aaron Brooks has been a starter in this league. He had an incredible season with the Rockets. Now it's been a while, but he was almost a 20-point, 10-assist guy for one season.
Yeah.
So he should – I would think he'd be foaming at the mouth at this opportunity. Look, I'm going to get to start. I'm a free agent at the end of the year. I can, I'm sure I would think he's seeing some dollar signs.
What
right?
do you think of the idea of Nate Robinson? I think that it's a different circumstance. It's a different team. He's not the same guy necessarily. But one thing that Nate Robinson gives you that you don't have or didn't exhibit last night. I know it's only one game. You don't have any. You have a team that lacks confidence. You have no confidence. They took the court expecting to lose, it seemed, expecting the bad things that they had thought about would happen in the previous 24 hours to happen, and they did. You have no swagger.
That's probably the best reason to bring in Nate Robinson. I would agree with that take. You need a little juice, and he'll come in here no matter what the circumstances. Down 30 in the fourth, that guy thinks he can shoot you back in the game.
And sometimes he does.
And he did it in the playoffs against the Nets. It's one of the greatest performances in Bulls history. It really was.
23 points in the fourth quarter?
It was absurd. Whatever the number was, that was a ridiculous performance. I don't know who else is out there. He doesn't fit perfectly because you got the little small Aaron Brooks too, but if he's the best guy going, he knows the system.
You're replacing Derrick Rose temporarily.
Right.
And you're not going to get a anybody that is a lockdown defender as a point guard is probably on a roster somewhere.
Exactly.
Anybody that doesn't have flaws is employed. Nate Robinson is unemployed because he's high maintenance. As Tom Thibodeau, I think, put it best when he coached him, when he coached against him. He's a guy that makes both coaches nervous.
Yep.
So that's the risk involved. But I think at this point you have to consider things you wouldn't ordinarily consider. Stan is on the south side. Welcome to the Cap'n Haw Show. How are you, Stan?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys today?
Doing well.
Okay, I agree with you guys about Nate Robinson. We need a spark plug. We need a swagger. Like you said, Vegas can't be choosy now. So that would be a great idea to bring him in now and see if Derrick Rose can still come back this year. Also, if I was you guys, I wouldn't even entertain the conversation of Derrick Rose. The Bulls are a better team without Derrick Rose. That's wasting sports conversation time. We shouldn't even be talking about that. Okay, then I have a question for both you guys. I'm going to hang up and let you guys answer. Mark, do you think that if the Bulls as an organization would be a more complete organization, like before the trade deadline, they maybe should have added a Fowler or Wilson Chandler, if the Bulls become a more complete franchise and think on the terms of the Spurs, not depending on one person for everything, I think the Bulls can recover from the situation and still be a legitimate threat out the East for the next couple years. That's your question, Mark. And Hall, your question is, why does Derrick Rose, after he gets injured, he doesn't talk to the media? He goes and hides. It's like he's a big baby. It's like everything's a big secret. He doesn't come out, talk to the media, put the fans at ease so that we all on one page. Derrick Rose still acts like a big baby and needs to grow up. Thanks, guys.
Stan, great call. Thanks for making it. You answer yours first because I have thoughts on what he asked me.
All right. Well, I would say that the Bulls, there was the narrative in the offseason. They're trying to build not around Derrick, but with Derrick. I mean, that was out there. You can't, which they have to do. They went out and were aggressive getting Powell. They tried to get Carmelo. And, you know, Aaron Aflalo, I wouldn't have traded Taj Gibson to get Aaron Aflalo, and I don't think you're getting him for anyone else on the roster. The roster's a lot.
Dunleavy?
Well, that I would have done.
Dunleavy and draft picks?
Listen, if you could have packaged Kirk Heinrich, Mike Dunleavy, and a pick for Aaron Aflalo, done. But I wouldn't have put Taj in the deal. I think they're doing the best they can to do exactly what Stan wants, which is make it a complete organization.
Did it surprise you Dunleavy wasn't more active last night? Shot in the fourth quarter. I mean, until the late in the fourth quarter garbage time, basically.
And it was an air ball, right?
Yeah, and he wasn't effective. He's got to be more involved if they're going to really use that team concept to get through this rough patch.
He's still Mike Dunleavy, though. Like, I have very low expectations from Mike Dunleavy. Open shot, hit it, play some good defense.
He's a better player
ball.
when Derek's on the court.
Exactly.
Because of the way that he opens up opportunities for everyone. And as far as Derrick Rose addressing the media, which is basically addressing the fans, I would agree with him that in a case like this, he could go a long way toward reassuring people that everything might be okay and he's going to be okay if he were to have met the media yesterday. But look, he didn't. The Bulls brass didn't. They don't want to speak until after the surgery. Derrick Rose may not want to speak until after the surgery. I think it speaks to how apprehensive everybody is in the state of anxiety this organization finds itself in. And I think that's telling. I think it's telling. I don't want to go so far as say he's a big baby like Stan said, like other fans have expressed. There's a lot of animosity out there for a guy that's going through a very difficult time right now. I can't imagine what it's like to be Derrick Rose, what must be going through his head. I have some empathy for him. I do think it's in his best interest to face this head on. It's easy for me to say. But I don't know that Derrick Rose will get that advice because I don't think he has a history of getting good advice.
People feel personally let down by Rose, and they allow that, in my mind, to feel like they should take shots at him. They're always weak because they feel let down themselves. Listen, the guy's shown a lot of resiliency, and I think he'll do it again. But to your point, if he's having the surgery on Friday, Sunday at the UC when the Clippers are there, he should be on that bench. He should be high-fiving his teammates. He should try to lift morale that way.
Yeah, Doug McDermott walked out of his procedure, you know, without crutches, I believe. If Derrick Rose has the same type of procedure, he should be at that game.
I'd love to see him there. I think it'd be good for the team.
Good point, Carl. Get the ultimate experience with all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt. Pleasing people since 1936. Mark Carman in for the Capman. David Hall on the Cap and Haw Show, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
Dante, welcome. Good morning.
The media kind of pushed Derrick Rose to play too soon. I don't think he was 100% healthy.
Well, what about when he played with Team USA?
Yeah, he was healthy.
Good. He wasn't that good. He wasn't that good.
Yeah, no, you have to play. Players play.
I understand.
Players got to play.
All right.
Hey. Anytime we get a little Taylor Swift worked in, it's a better show.
I got to say, you're shockingly hip. You've got Taylor Swift in your arsenal.
There we go.
You're like Mr. Facebook nowadays.
All right.
Your Twitter, everything you're doing over
Thank
there.
You.
I mean, it's Thank it's you, impressive.
Carm. I've never been called. I haven't been called hip in ever. Thanks, I mean, Mark Carman, in for the Capman. Speaking of hip, yeah, right.
No one thought that David Haw was going. Players gonna play ever, let alone yesterday. And I was privileged to be here for it.
It's you know, it's Taylor. She's gone country to pop.
I'm a fan.
I'm
like
a fan,
Taylor.
Too. Cap'n Haw Show, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. Okay, so one thing I got last night and just dealing with the story at the United Center and talking to people yesterday was just a sense of not just the shock, but sometimes when this stuff like this happens, Carmen, and players' injuries happen and you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we knew that was a problem. You know, it's been bugging them for weeks. This was expected. Privately, they knew what we didn't, and they concealed it or whatever. But in this case, I detected a legitimate sense of shock, and there was no expectation that Derrick Rose was going in for an MRI, and this was going to be the result. I think that you heard Tom Thibodeau talk at practice the day that this was, you know, uncovered. It was Tuesday during after practice. Greatness was expected of Derrick. He was going to play Wednesday night. Talking to people last night around the team, they didn't know this was even a remote possibility. Caught many people off guard, probably even Derrick himself.
I agree. It's you know, KC's coming up about 5 minutes or so. He wrote it saying it was like it was in the past. And it's interesting because I was talking to a guy yesterday who knows Derrick and knows Reggie, and he was at the game Monday night. So he's talking to Reggie, and he's not in the inner circle, but knows him well enough and says, you know, how's Derrick feeling? Great. Never felt better. Had a great All-Star break. You know, wants to get back there, but it was a good time for him off. His body's never felt better. That was Monday night at the game where he got hurt. Who knows if it had been lingering and building up to something at that point, but that's – and I don't know. Who knows if Reggie was, you know, maybe being pie in the sky, but that's what he said.
Well, I don't know that he would have probably been that effusive about,
right?
You know, how he was feeling if there was any trepidation about something like this happening, right?
Yeah, no.
Especially with a guy with his injury past.
Agreed. So, I mean, this basically
seems
that
makes it even harder to take.
Right?
Because it's harder to predict. And yet destined to happen. You know, isn't that the truth?
It's the truth. And the thing is about everybody being past it, too. You know, whenever I would watch him, I think you the same way, you would see him, like, come down awkwardly and be like, oh, God.
You cringe.
Right. Is that it?
You watched him with – you're going to watch him from this day forward.
Yep.
With a sense of impending doom.
It'll always
and
be
And that's
there.
The thing. How do you structure a roster? How do you plan for a championship run when the most important piece of that puzzle – is one that has frayed edges and you always think is going to crumble.
And that's a real discussion when his contract's up. For the next 2 years,
you're stuck.
You're stuck. And you're moving forward with him. You're not trading him. You're not reworking his contract. The next 2 years, you do everything you can, which to me, you might want to think about, hey, listen, if it's a 10, 15, 25% chance that he's that much healthier if he doesn't play next year, if you don't run him out this year, I would be thinking about that if I were the Bulls, because that's really your last window. Because Noah's a free agent, mm-hmm. Powell's that much older. Mm-hmm. I would be thinking they're having that conversation there. But they're not gonna know until after the surgery.
312-235-2525. Let's go to the phone lines. Jack is in Vernon Hills. Good morning, Jack.
Yes, good morning. Top of the morning to you, man. Appreciate your show.
Thank you.
You know, we talk about I've heard you talk about psychological effects that we're having on the team here with the Rosa going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say that probably that goes with the people that play with him. What about the people that are sitting on the bench that aren't getting an opportunity to play with him? It looked to me like, you know, psychologically, it wouldn't affect them as much. So therefore, they have something to bring to the court if they would get an opportunity to play.
Who are you talking about? Like Doug McDermott? You talking about McDermott and Etuan Moore?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you got McDermott, a three shooter, you know, and how many did they shoot last night trying to shoot threes and couldn't hit? Did McDermott get an opportunity?
No, he didn't. Absolutely. Jack, that's a very good point. It's a very good phone call. Thanks for making it. Carm, what do you think? Does this open up an opportunity? Does this beg for an intervention and Tom Thibodeau should try different things, different people, different rotations, different combinations as a means of replacing Derrick Rose by committee?
It was my first thought on it. You need offense. Get Doug McDermott on the court. I don't understand really.
He's not a point guard.
No, he's not.
He's a defensive liability. You just got worse defensively every minute he plays.
Right. That's true. But at this point, I don't think you're going to be a very good defensive team.
Okay.
So let's try to score the basketball. And you could put Jimmy at least a little bit. You could play him at the one. Not a ton, but you could play him 10 minutes
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy Butler
yep.
at the point?
Yep.
That's radical.
It is a little bit. But I think you got to rework.
What about Tony Snell?
It doesn't handle it well enough. But I don't mind.
Does Jimmy Butler? You trust him more because he's delivered more. I don't know that that's an ideal situation. You've got Kirk Heinrich. You've got three point guards that can handle the ball. You've got Aaron Brooks, Heinrich, and Etuan Moore.
Let me sell you on a Butler, Snell, McDermott, Noah. And
I'm not buying, Carm.
You're not coming on that?
I'm not buying.
I don't think you have
to get radical. I don't know that you have to get that radical. I think that Aaron Brooks had a bad night. I think he's a good replacement. I think Kirk Heinrich is a guy that, you know, we've sort of had our fill of Kirk Heinrich over the years. There's a lot of Heinrich fatigue amongst Bulls fans.
And Kirk Heinrich played very hard last night. He continues to play like
he
that. He's going to break down. There's no way he can hold up playing how he played last night.
See, that's such a pessimistic outlook.
I
thought you were going to go with Kirk Heinrich played hard last night. That was encouraging to see because that's a guy you can count on.
You can't count on Kirk.
You can count on him sometimes. I like the way he plays. I got a little Thibs in me there because I like the grit that Kirk Heinrich offers. I'm a Heinrich fan.
I don't dislike Kirk Heinrich.
Sounds like you do a little bit.
A drop, yes,
okay.
But I only want to see him 10, 15 minutes. Come on. Kirk Heinrich's body has been through almost as much as Derrick Rose, minus the major surgeries. That guy's not going to hold up. He can't be out there 30 minutes,
okay.
35 minutes.
I think you're right. 30 to 35 minutes is a bit much, but a good 18 to 20-minute stint, he's going to bring you some grit.
I'll need some grit right now. I'll sign up for 18 to 20, Kirk.
Let's squeeze in another phone call before the break. Jermaine is in Chicago. Good morning, Jermaine. Welcome to Cap and Haw.
Man, what's up, man? I was just listening to you guys, and I ran across Stan. I mean, trying to come at you guys, but saying Derrick Rose soft, but you got to understand that the NBA is a national basketball association, and this is a business, and it's hard to see one of the best point guards in the league. They might want to admit it on ESPN, but one of the probably the best point guards in the league go down, and I'm sure the Washington Wizards was happy. You know, I'm sure, you know, John Wall was like, yes, now I can just, you know, run past the Bulls one more time. But, you know, and it's hard because the more the Bulls win championships, it's good for Comcast SportsNet, like you guys shows, and I understand why you guys would be upset about Derrick Rose leaving. So you know, in his $250 million Adidas contract, that probably people probably want to buy some shoes. You got him, you know, the Derrick Rose jersey, probably one of the best sellers. He need to do some Wheaties commercials.
All right, Jermaine. Creative concept. I don't know that Derrick Rose is going to be at the Wheaties commercial. Thanks for calling. I thought he was – I don't know where he was going with that, but I don't know that
I don't know
we're sad about Derrick Rose's injury because it's bad for ratings or anything like that. Yeah. I think you feel for the guy who's been through a lot and doesn't really deserve, as Joakim Noah said yesterday, nobody deserves to go through what Derrick Rose has gone through the last 3 years. 56 games, Carm. 56 games in three seasons.
Yeah, Ravel with the tweet yesterday with the math.
Darren Ravel.
Yeah, Darren Ravel, businessman, ESPN, the big guy with the numbers. $950,000-some a game is what Rose has been paid per game the last three seasons.
Well, that makes it a little more easier to take, perhaps.
$950 a game.
Per game.
Will I make $950 in my lifetime?
He got $950,000 for shooting 1-for-13.
It's a lot of dough for a 1-for-13.
Interesting.
God bless him for getting that contract.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk to Casey Johnson, beat writer for the Chicago Tribune, who was there last night with me. Mark Carman in for the Capman. David Haw on the Cap and Haw Show. See us in Chicago and WGNplus.com.